source for everything paranormal. Parax.
Throughout the ages, history has been altered by word of mouth and the misrepresentation of those who might not have been present when some of the world's most significant events took place. Channelers Barry and Connie Strom bring through the spirits of those who actually witnessed or took part in these historical events and lets them tell their stories in their own words. Welcome to Channeling History. And now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. We are the only show where we speak to souls where all the guests are on the other side of the life veil, and we're brought to you every Sunday night on the Parax Radio Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I'll be speaking the words of the spirits tonight.
And I'm Connie Strom, your co-host. I will be asking the questions of our spirit guests this evening. Last week, we had a very interesting discussion between Justice Antonin Scalia and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We had many more questions for them than the time would allow, so we're having them back again tonight. We have much to discuss, so we will not be taking a break again this evening.
Okay, we never know in advance what our spirit guests are going to say, so we always think it's prudent to try to throw in a little disclaimer. So the opinions or statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits, do not necessarily reflect our opinions or those of the Parax Network.
We're always attempting to grow our audience, so would you please tell your friends about us? Don't forget, you can always download our shows for free on Podomatic.com. Just search Channeling History.
Okay, now before we channel, and we're going to get to it as quick as we can, we always say a prayer of protection. Prayer is given to us by the guides. It's meant to protect us from evil. So, Connie, say the prayer, and we'll begin to channel with the two justices.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Amen.
Okay, Connie, let's start with the questions.
Okay. Welcome back, both of you. It was a great show last week, and we're getting a lot of positive comments, so we really thank you for returning. Some comments indicate doubt that we're really speaking with your spirits. If each of you would like to say a few words to begin and react to those with doubts, we would love to hear them. As always, we have class, so we begin with the ladies first. Justice Ginsburg?
Thank you. I do appreciate that we're happy to be back here again. It is kind of strange over here not being able to talk to any of the humans that we knew and loved so well on the other side. I think that it's very difficult to prove that you really are speaking to us. We could go into, certain legal cases and perhaps bring some of that stuff up. But I think that people just simply have to understand that things are so different when you're on this side. All of those things that we did when we were over as humans that we felt so important about, they don't seem quite as important when you're over here. We look at things in a much bigger package. I know that when I looked at Roe v. Wade, I thought that it was a very important piece of legislation. Now that I'm over here, I know that it caused a lot of discomfort and a lot of emotional pain and a lot of life plans being ended. It's amazing how when you're over here, things really do change. It's an absolutely amazing place. As everyone says, it's indescribable. And as you know, as justices, we could describe a lot of things, but there's no way we can do it about heaven. if people don't believe, then I don't think there's much we can do to make them believe. I mean, we could rattle off some detailed names of court cases. Barry probably wouldn't be able to pronounce a lot of them, so I don't think we're going to do that. Just trust us when we say that it is really Anthony and myself that are speaking, and I guess that's about all I want to say about this one. So, Justice Scalia, I think it's your turn. I know that if I was listening to the show, I wouldn't believe it. That is probably something that I may not be proud of. I didn't ever believe that people that claimed that they had the abilities that you folks have, I never believed in it. I thought it was all hocus pocus. I thought that, yes, no, I always believed in God. I was never a question about that. But I never believed that there was, that anyone had the ability to speak with spirits on the other side. Once again, I also don't believe that there's too much we can say to convince anyone of this. I think that if you listen to our overall comments, you're going to hear proof that it truly is the two of us. Once you're over here, things are very different. You look at things differently. You don't speak. It's just a mental thing. Everything is just unlike what it's like to be a human. Well, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it every up until the point I went on that last hunting trip. How that ended didn't go well, but that's the way it is sometimes. I think that there is just so much doubt in this world. I think that there is so much that people refuse to believe. Once you're over here, you understand that you should have believed a lot more of the things that you doubted, and that there were many things that you should have done. So anyway, I don't know if that's going to answer your skeptics for you, but it truly is Ruth and myself. So, Connie, I know you've got some more questions.
I do. Each of you faced challenges serving on the Supreme Court, Justice Ginsburg being a Jewish woman and Justice Scalia being an Italian, a conservative Italian Catholic. Would each of you discuss these challenges and how your backgrounds affected your work on the bench? Who would like to begin?
I think I better let Ruth do this one first. When I graduated from college, I was competing with men. It was a men's school. It wasn't that, and now I'm giving away what my age was, but it was not that much earlier that women truly had the right to vote. I guess maybe in some ways that I overreacted to the rights of women. In my mind, I felt that fighting for women's rights was one of the most important things I could do. I wanted women to be on a truly equal basis. I was very proud when I got appointed to the court. It was an unusual thing. I was born before the Second World War, where everybody, well, not everybody, where the Nazis were killing as many Jewish people as they could. There was an awful lot of resentment in the United States towards the Jewish people. I felt that someone had to stand up for women, had to stand up for the rights of all individuals, had to stand up for the right of freedom. I felt that the Constitution did not give adequate protections to certain places, for certain groups of people, such as the Jewish population, such as women. I always tried to be fair, but I definitely had a different viewpoint from my friend here. I overreacted maybe in certain ways. I felt that women truly had the rights, almost total rights, to do what they wanted as long as they were not breaking laws of nature or truly injuring others. Women needed to find out that they could pursue lifestyles where they were exactly equal with men. It was a time that the black population was not treated fairly. The military would send them into battle, would let them be killed and wounded, but they wouldn't often let them do the same that the white members of the military was doing. It was a time of great need for, shall we say, a more liberal way of looking at some of the regulations. Maybe my background did make me overreact in certain areas. But yes, I did what I thought was best. Justice Scalia. When you're raised an Italian-American Catholic, you look at things in a more conservative way. It was a time that Catholics didn't use birth control. Certainly abortion was a terrible thing. We were part of big families. You looked around, it wasn't uncommon in those early days to see 6, 8, even more children. When you go through the Catholic school system, you're taught many strict things. Now, there were many things that I rebelled against, but it lays a background. It lays a background where you're raised under a set of rules. Catholics live under a fairly strict set of rules. When you're in a Catholic school, in those days, you could find yourself on the short end of a ruler. So you learn that rules are to be followed. I felt that the Constitution set up a set of rules with the amendments that should be followed. I always felt that, yes, perhaps there were times that the Constitution did not cover modern situations as they should have. But I felt that the Founding Fathers laid a foundation that needed to be followed. I felt that the Constitution was a legal document, and that legal document was a contract with the people of the country, and the people and the justices were required to follow that contract. So a strict Catholic background, I guess, did definitely contribute to the way that I interpreted the law.
Okay, Justice Scalia, today you're seeing much political pressure on the members of the Supreme Court from threatening the justices' safety by demonstrating in front of their homes, and the Senate threatening to pack the court with more members. Where do you see these actions leading in the future? And Justice Ginsburg, of course, I would like you to comment as well.
I think that it is a terrible thing that the justices are not better protected. Now, we had protective details and we felt fairly secure. Today, there are factions. There are radicals on both the conservative side and both on the liberal side. These people feel that anything is justified for them to obtain what they want. When these people are interfering and trying to threaten the justices, they're breaking the law. It's the only way to look at it. If I was still there, I would be pushing Congress very strongly to arrest these people. The judges in the Supreme Court play an incredibly important role. They need to decide whether the laws that that Congress comes up with and are signed by the president follow the Constitution. The whole idea of being appointed for a lifetime is to avoid conflicts of interest. They don't have to run for election. They don't have to accept donations. The whole idea is that they are supposed to be the neutral arbitrator between the laws that come out of Congress and the president and the people. If Congress is allowed to politically influence the justices, then the whole system is going to deteriorate. Justice should be the same from the homeless person to the president of the United States. It is, in my mind, a great risk to our democracy when people influence the courts, influence the politicians, and instill doubts when the justices are looking at how they should deal with certain situations. Justice Ginsburg. I kind of hate to say this, but I just agree with a lot of what was spoken. The people that feel that they can do whatever they want to influence others, it's the same theory that you cannot yell fire in a movie theater. You cannot arbitrarily influence individuals that are meant to be neutral in their opinions and are meant to construe the law to the best of their abilities. The fact that Congress would stoop to threaten the existing justices by putting more individuals of their political thought on the court, I think that is a total miscarriage of what the elected officials should be doing. The concept of any means to an end is a disaster for any civilization. If the politicians would say, put three more justices on, then what is to say that when the next party takes control, they can't put 10 more justices on? It is a very, very slippery slope. The number of justices that are on the court has been very effective for many years. Political ideas will swing like a pendulum as presidents nominate people of their what they feel will follow their political objectives. But I would also point out that quite often justices are appointed that are thought to be of a political nature and find out that it's really a good thing to be neutral and do what they feel is best. Many justices were appointed by liberal presidents to find out that they had more conservative views than they once they got on the court, and vice versa. The concept of packing the court, or in my case, I was pressured to step down. The members of Democratic Party felt that I needed to make sure that I exited in time that they could appoint another liberal justice. I resented the pressure very much, and perhaps I stayed longer than I should have. The people need to understand that the most important thing in the justice system is truly an independent judiciary. The fact that justices on lower levels have to run for political office creates situations where they are beholden to different political parties or donors as well. I would like to see a system where political influence was totally removed from the judicial system. But in this modern time, it's not going to happen.
Sadly, you are correct. Justice Ginsburg, I have to say I'm really enjoying speaking with the two of you. Do you see any limits to either protection of or the rights of privacy provisions in the Constitution? I would also like to hear from Justice Scalia.
There are definitely limits to equal protection and rights under the Constitution. I feel that those rights and limits need to be addressed to create more of a modern society. For instance, social media and the internet didn't exist for our founding fathers. While unlimited ability and protection should exist for everyone, they can be, those rights can become very harmful. Now, I understand totally that any speech is to be protected. Dissidents should be treated by as the same as people that have more standard voices in situations. I do think that all people should have equal protection. And I do think that privacy of people should be protected. Today you're seeing where the privacy of people is being anything but protected. People, companies have access to information that violate the privacy of people. When the World Trade Centers was attacked, the laws were changed, giving the government great abilities to invade the privacy of individuals. I think that that type of legislation should be changed. There should be limits to what the government can do in invading the privacy of people. The excuse that it is for the protection of the majority, the excuse that that concept allows them freedom to do what government agencies wish to do is very dangerous. I am seeing from over here that our agencies such as the FBI are not getting the proper authorizations for searches. I see that things are being taken, or that the judicial system is being influenced by political interests. I think it is a very, very dangerous time. I hope that answered your question. I feel, along with Justice Ginsburg, that many things are happening. I feel that government protections are not being enforced. The concept of right to privacy changed after the attack on the World Trade Center. The legislation that was intended to be a good thing is now being abused. I think that all members of the judiciary should understand that there are definite limits to what a government can do. The limits are defined in the Constitution. I do believe that Congress and the president should attempt to get realistic parameters passed in legislation that help protect the people as was intended in the Constitution.
Justice Scalia, now that you're on the other side, do you see any medical viability standard, perhaps 6 or 15 weeks, that would balance with the rights of women to deal with freedom of choice? And Justice Ginsburg, I know you'll have something to say to this also.
I believe that abortion is killing an innocent life. In my mind, whether you take that life at 6, 15, 21, whatever number of weeks, is still taking that life. Now that I'm over here, I totally understand the concept that life begins at conception. No, there's no heartbeat, but there's going to be heartbeat. I also understand that there are times that a woman should be allowed to have an abortion. If perhaps the woman has many children and she's going to die if she has another one, then it's much more important that the woman lives to take care of those of that family. Today, there's so much abuse in the taking of lives. Maybe it is my strong Catholic background, but I feel that the time for freedom of choice was before the baby was conceived. It's my belief that once the baby is conceived, that in all probability, it should be supported to birth. Okay, Ruth, you're up. Well, as you know, I was a very strong proponent of women's rights and their right to make the choices, their own choices concerning their body. Now that I'm over here, I totally understand that God prefers that if a baby is conceived, that the life plan be given an opportunity to come to fruition through birth. This is a very tough compromise. Women today want to make very strong decisions in everything that affects their lives. I fought for that. I would still fight for it if I was back. But the act of taking the life of a child as it has reached maturity and is ready for birth is a nauseating idea. There's no question in my mind now that that is the taking of a life. Perhaps, well, I'm not sure what to say here. The fact that abortions would be totally outlawed is very repugnant to the majority of women. The fact that a woman is going to take the life of that baby, no matter what the law is, her life should be protected as well. I'm not sure that there truly is an answer to this. It seems as though the two sides have become so far apart. One side says no abortion, and the next side says abortion till birth. Perhaps if the people would discuss this, I do believe that it is a states' rights matter. I didn't at when I was on the court. The majority of the people in a state should be able to determine what happens to their laws. This is probably the most difficult compromise that your politicians could ever address. I feel that there should be some time that a woman should be allowed, but it should be very, very early in the pregnancy. I saw that there was legislation that a woman has to listen if the baby is advanced, she has to listen to the heartbeat of the baby before she orders an abortion. I don't think that that is right. Sometimes I wish that I had more abilities to think things through at this time. All I can say is that this concept is one of the most difficult ones that the politicians have to address. Yeah.
Justice Ginsburg, in life, did you feel that any amendments should have been added to the Constitution? And has your opinion changed since you're on the other side? Justice Scalia, maybe also have your opinion.
I believed that there should have been amendments that gave women more rights. I thought that Roe v. Wade should not have been changed. I felt that abortion was a very strong right that a woman was entitled to. I thought that there should have been amendments that would have given the women equal rights. Now, political pressures did much to us to alleviate many of the problems. Women were given more rights in the military. They are holding high office. Much has changed, especially since I was a child. The concept of guns rights, I thought that needed to be amended. I felt that unlimited ability to carry weapons was no longer required in our culture. I think that I would have voted for an amendment that helped to take the guns out of the hands of people that were unfit for them. Generally, I think that the political pressures of active women did much to alleviate the need for many amendments that that were probably required early in my life. When I'm over here, things look a lot different. I guess that if there was an amendment today, I would want to strengthen the freedom of religion, and I would want to strengthen the freedom of speech. Today, an amendment or political action is required to control social media. Social media has changed the way people communicate drastically. There needs to be protection for the people. Social media needs to understand that freedom of speech needs to be respected for all. Yes, freedom of speech can be bad, but it needs to be protected. I felt that the Constitution needed to be strengthened. If there were to be changes, I wanted change to come through the political process, not through judicial interpretation. I strongly agree that legislation is required for social media. Certain companies have grown so strong that they can wield great political pressures. If a network would not allow a political or a politician to run ads on his network, then he is swaying the election. When stories are withheld, elections are being influenced. There has to be some type of legislation to assure a level playing field. I'm not sure how you can obtain judicial neutrality, but I think that the election processes have got to be changed. Each person is entitled to have an opinion and a vote. That opinion needs to be based on realistic information. Today, it's almost impossible to find realistic information. The growth of social media has pretty much assured that. There either has to be legislation or some type of amendment to guarantee that the public airways are used to bring about that level playing field.
What do each of you see as the future of the Supreme Court? Justice Scalia, would you please begin?
Well, I sincerely hope that the future of the Supreme Court is guaranteed protections under the law, just the same as individuals. I hope that they continue to have lifetime appointments. I want to see them protected from influence. I want the political parties to agree that they are not going to bring unjust pressures upon the court. I fear that the current political environments are capable of creating great damage to the courts. The next time a party has the presidency and both houses of Congress, there is little to stop them from putting additional judges on the court. I would like to actually see an amendment to the Constitution that stipulates how many judges are on the courts. The number of judges has basically been precedent. Roosevelt attempted to stuff the court, and thankfully he was stopped. Today we have a situation where the country is almost evenly split. 50% of the people are Democrats, 50% are Republicans. Just because a party becomes a majority party by a very slim margin, that does not mean that they can do what they want. Theoretically, you would think that in a very closely contested Congress, that the politicians would attempt to do conciliatory legislation, that they would attempt not to run roughshod over the 49%. I think that it is just simply a very, very dangerous time for our country. The founding fathers were brilliant when they came up with the three levels of government. They wanted to make everything balance. They were attempting to force conciliation, negotiation, and they were attempting to set up a court that would be the final judge in how the Constitution applied to the legislation that was passed. Today, there's incredible pressure upon the justices. I give Ruth incredible praise for not bowing to those that wanted her to resign so that the seat could be filled. She reacted to that pressure the way an honorable person would react to it. Today, nominations to the Supreme Court are hugely contested. The reason that they are contested is because of the splits that we have in our community today. While we get a glimpse of the future, we are certainly not allowed to comment on it. I can tell you that if the attempts to influence the justices do not cease, our political system is in great danger. In most of the conversation, I strongly agree with Justice Scalia. I was there and I was pressured. I truly resented the fact that people were trying to pressure me. I reacted by staying there until I died. Maybe I should have moved on earlier, but I felt that I was still capable of doing my job. So I saw no reason why I should allow others to influence my decisions. I hope today's justices can remain as independent as I attempted to be. Many thought that my opinions were many times extreme. Well, I didn't. It was what I believed in. As long as the justices believe in a constitutional foundation, they may believe, as I did, that the Constitution needs to be adapted to more modern times. But they need to decide how they're going to proceed. I agree that the Supreme Court should absolutely never become another political body. That is something where I agree with the Founding Fathers that they wanted independence for the court. There are people saying that they should be given terms, that they should only be able to serve so long and not for life. I feel that that is a mistake. Lifetime appointments do let the justices act in a manner in which there can be no penalties. As long as Congress and the President understand that, then I think that the Supreme Court has a bright future. If the justices succumb to the great political forces that are coming into play, the great money that is being placed to influence them, the mobs that try to alter the lifestyle of the judges and threaten them, Congress has to step up and protect the independence of the court. If it does not do that, then the entire political system of the United States is going to fail.
Okay. What do each of you consider the most important issue facing the United States today? Justice Ginsburg, would you please begin?
I think that the most important, one of the most important things that the government has to face is controlling freedom of speech. Now, I know controlling freedom of speech is an oxymoron. What the government has to do is protect privacy and protect freedom of speech. As we've discussed earlier, social media presents itself as a great threat. Several companies have the ability to allow only what they wish to come over the airways of social media. The government needs to ensure equality of information. There are institutions out there on social media that are just simply specializing in propaganda. The government has to assure that people understand what is taking place. Today, government hides much from the people. Many of the numbers are altered. Numbers such as inflation rates are changed or do not reflect the true cost of living increases. Government needs to focus on honesty. They need not continue to focus only on power. Government today is very heavily influenced by investment, by monies that are put into campaigns, by legal firms that apply pressures. The government simply needs to understand that the Constitution provides the guidance they need. The Constitution, with a common sense approach to right and wrong, can assure that the United States moves into the future. The country has to maintain great strength militarily. There are countries that hate them, but all of the countries that hate them have such political flaws that if the United States can maintain its strength and a beacon of justice in the world, that they will outlast them. Justice Ginsburg. A lot of what has just been said is quite accurate. I feel that the government has got to learn the same thing that children learn in kindergarten. They need to learn to get along. It always bothered us on the court when issues would come up that we felt could have been solved through negotiation and compromise. Today, the government does not know the concept of compromise. And by doing that, it throws this incredible load upon the judicial system. If government would only pass legislation that was the best for the people, it would take a lot of the load off of the judicial system that exists today. If the government does not learn compromise, then I fear that it's going to fail.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate your coming back with us this week. Would each of you like to make a final statement? Once again, ladies first.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope that those of you that are listening out there will understand your individual rights. You'll understand that all men truly, and women especially, are created equal. I hope that you try to learn the truth of what's going on around you. I hope that you understand that pressures must be, that evil pressures must not be allowed to control what takes place. Vote for the best people that you think will support what you want. Vote for people that will support the Constitution, will perhaps understand changes that need to be made in the Constitution. Vote for people that can compromise and get things done. I watched a lot that went on. A lot of it actually scared me. But I persevered and I tried to do what was right. So just try to do what's right. And I think all will be well. I agree with you, Ruth. Government, as we see it today, is throwing an immense load on our judicial system. Everything is adjudicated. Nothing is accepted as final until it comes to the Supreme Court, and we can only handle so much. If government would pass laws that were fair, that were just for everyone, and were for the good of the country, the legal actions would diminish. Of course, there are hundreds of thousands of attorneys out there that would have broken hearts because they wouldn't have anything to fight about. But I know that the people that we've listened to messages that were given by the different holy figures. I know they continuously talk about the golden rule and doing unto others as they'd have them do unto you. The golden rule does not state that if you have great power, you can do what you want. I hope that the politicians step back and understand a little bit of this. I doubt that any of them would ever take time to listen to our conversations from this side. I still believe that the Constitution is the greatest contract that was ever made between a government and its people. It's a foundation that has lasted for hundreds of years and can last for hundreds more. It just has to be respected, maybe tweaked a little bit, but it is truly a document for the people. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come through. Thank you for allowing both of us to speak. It's actually been a bit of fun, so thank you.
And thank you. We appreciate the history lesson.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Next week, we're going to have something very interesting. We're going to be speaking with the spirits of President Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. I thought that this would be a very interesting conversation, especially what's taking place over in Russia at the present time. I'm very interested to hear what Mr. Gorbachev thinks about Mr. Putin. So you can submit questions yourself, make suggestions for future shows, future guests. Send those emails to channelinghistoryonparax@gmail.com. That's channelinghistoryonparax@gmail.com. We haven't had commercials for the last couple of weeks. Maybe we'll get to it next week. But my eighth book, Messages of God for a Modern World, should be released about 15th of October. It's truly a book of God's messages. They're exactly as I channeled them. If you truly want to help spread God's words, then purchasing this book and telling others about it will be the way to go. It's going to be available on Kindle for immediate download. Signed copies of all my books are available on our websites, spiritspredict.com and wordsofgodthenandnow.com. I hope that you enjoyed this. I know that I have. I know those are two brilliant minds, and I enjoyed hearing their opinions. It is amazing how people from two such different political backgrounds can be such good friends. So we hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Join us next week. Please join us every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Parax Radio Network.
And I would also like to thank you all for joining us this evening. Have a wonderful week. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our story begins by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.